playing the last game, did you find with older players that, especially guys like him, who are so tough and willing to play through injury, that they're more willing to kind of put their bodies through that because they want to, you know, they're getting up there in years and they want to be a part of something, especially a winning culture?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with age. I think it just has to do with the individual.
With Todd, what happened with the decision to finally for him?
I think he couldn't move on his ankle. He would have been out for a couple weeks with his ankle, so I think he just made a decision that if I'm going to be out with my ankle and I'm not going to play anyways, that I might as well get this fixed.
Chip, the last three games, you have used a lot of 11 personnel and have been running pretty well out of it. What kind of precipitated the decision to use more of it, what the defense was doing or what you...
Yeah, it's based on what the defense is doing and how they try to defend sets and what are they going to put in the game and then what would we rather get matched up against. So, you know, we're flexible in terms of what can we be in 11 or 12 or 10 or even 13 because of our three tight ends. So just what gives us the best advantage.
In camp, you mentioned how well Sanchez fit with the guys in the locker room with the culture. What have you seen particularly about that stood out?
I just think he came in and was a really good teammate from the get-go, you know, and I think it's important that everybody gets along and as everybody's on the same page, and I think he has the same goals and aspirations as the other guys in the locker room, and it was it wasn't one of those where it took him a little while for people to kind of understand him. I think he's a likable guy. I think people understand that he's here because he wants to win. It's not about Mark, it's about the Eagles, and I think he fits in with the rest of the guys in the locker room.
How tough is it for a guy like Matt, who hasn't really done much at right guard throughout this preseason and the season, to swing over like this?
I don't know, and that's what practice is all about. So I wouldn't rule Andrew Gardner out there either. So no, I think people are a little presumptuous saying that they already know what our starting lineup is because the coaches don't know what the starting lineup is. So
Jeremy Macklin has obviously come back from that knee injury. He's having a great season. As a coach, what are you most proud of with Jeremy?
I mean, I don't know if I'm really proud. I just think that's what I expected. You know, that's a Jeremy Macklin I saw before the injury. And the big thing for me is that's a Jeremy Macklin I saw here every day rehabbing. Is I knew he was going to be successful. I saw how he attacked his rehabilitation in terms of getting ready and getting back and ready to play with his knee. That's why it was very, very important for us to sign him in this offseason and make sure that he stayed here and was a part of it. So I think it's just a credit to him in terms of his determination. But that's the makeup of the guy that I saw the first time I walked into this building.
And how important is it for you to sign him long-term? He's only, you know,
I'm worried about the Carolina Panthers. So.
Defense has been playing you guys differently in terms of keeping a safety deeper with the fact that you guys have been hitting some more deep balls.
No.
Pat Shurmur said yesterday he thought this was a QB-friendly system. Do you agree with that, and what makes it that way?
I've never really thought of it that way. I just think we try to make it a friendly system for the QB, the running back, the O-line, the wide receivers. I think that's your job as a coach. If you make it too complicated where your players don't understand it, therefore they're thinking and they can't go out and execute, then shame on you as a coach. So I would say it's any system that's not QB-friendly, then it's probably a bad system.
You look at history coaching against Cam Newton. What's the challenges he presents that are specific to him?
As in, I faced him once before.
In the preseason, but before that, in the national championship.
Yeah, one game. He played well against us. They beat us 22-19. He's a tremendous athlete. But I think he gets shortchanged when everybody just says he's a good athlete. He's a really good quarterback. He can throw the ball. He can make all the throws. I think he broke Peyton Manning's record as a rookie in this league for throwing. He's a complete quarterback, you know. And if guys are covered, his ability to then make something happen with his feet, I think, is what kind of sets him apart from some other guys in this league. So he's a huge challenge for us in terms of facing him this week. So,
anything different as far as like your success in the red zone on Sunday?
Yeah, we didn't turn it over. So usually that contributes to us scoring when we don't give the ball to the other team. So
you had mentioned turnovers and X plays against as two of the things that need to be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. What stats or factors do you look to on the other side that has enabled you to go past that and have a 6-2 mark?
I think our defense has done a great job when we have turned it over, and I've always talked about response after turnovers is that even though we do turn it over, can our defense go out and limit people when they go on the field? And for the most part, not all the time, but for the most part, they've done a really good job of that in terms of, you know, even though we made a mistake on the offensive side of the ball, it's not a full mistake if our defense can go out and force the ball to come back to us. So I think a lot of credit goes to our defense in terms of that. I also think there's a lot of mental toughness on this team is that they don't let one play define them. And understand that you can fail on a play, but that doesn't mean you're a failure. You know, and I think they have the ability to bounce back after they make a mistake. They learn from it, make sure it doesn't happen again, and then move on.
Was Kelvin Benjamin a guy that when you were there at in the first round of 26 you were given strong consideration to and you checked out him?
I can't tell you what 26, what we were thinking about at that point in time, but he was a guy that certainly we had on our board as a receiver that we were very, very interested in. He fits kind of what we're looking for. He's a big, strong, physical guy. But he's a guy we look very hard at in the draft. So I think he's talented. I think what he's doing is doesn't surprise us. That's what we thought about him coming out. I thought he was a really good receiver.
Cole and Graham have become really good outside linebackers in this scheme, and you guys kind of insisted that from the get-go.
Surprising.
Yeah. Is it the player, you can mold them into almost anything because if they're good and they have talent and they're willing to do it, or is it more than that?
No, it's the player, you know, and we've had faith in Brandon. A lot of people had him written off and written out of here, but we didn't, thank goodness. You know, I think he's improved in every manner. I think he's playing really well on special teams for us. He generates a great pass rush. He sets the edge. He's worked extremely hard at coverage, and I think Trent's done the same exact thing. So, you know, I just told those guys that they know from our standpoint that we've always had faith in him, and I think that's the great thing about it is that, you know, the players and the coaching staff have a great understanding of each other and don't worry about anything else that's going on outside because that really has no effect on it. So the decisions that are made is, I think our players know really straightforward where we are from coming from them. I think we're real honest and open and transparent with them and they understand it. But their success doesn't surprise us, neither did Mac's success surprise us. We felt all along that those guys could fit really well in our scheme and they've proven that.
Is it just the same thing kind of like at wide receiver? Because, I mean, last year Deshaun had a career year playing in this system, you know, and obviously now Jeremy's off to – you know, really
that's a credit to the players. You know, it's not. There's no. If there was one system that allowed people to have career years, then everybody should run the system. It's still a player. It's a player deal. You know, and our job is to put them in situations where they can make plays. But then they've got to go make the plays. And some guys can't make plays, and other guys can make plays. So it's a credit to the player.
Pat Shermer and Ron Rivera worked together, obviously, for a bunch of years here. Does that change anything in the preparation that they know each other so well and how they think?
Just because there's a lot of familiarity with a lot of different coaching staffs. You know, Billy Davis worked for the Giants and worked for Coach Coughlin, you know. So, I mean, I think everybody at some point in time in this league has crossed paths with other people. Sean McDermott was here, so Ted and Deuce and Sherm know him well, too. So, but I think that's kind of commonplace in this league. Most people aren't in the same place for the same amount of time for a long time, so there's a lot of crossover. So you know everybody's different based upon the personnel they have, so how they deploy it. You know, you may say, hey, I really like this blitz, but if they don't feel like they have people that can run that blitz, they're not going to run the blitz. So
are you looking for anything more out of Michael Kendricks now that D'Amico's down in terms of whether it's play or leadership or anything?
No, Michael's just got to be himself, and I think if Michael tries to be anything different than himself, I don't think that's not the formula for success. It's the same with Mark, or the same with Andrew Gardner, the same with Matt Tobin, whoever it is. You don't have to replace the guy, and I think if that's what your mindset is going in, you need to just be yourself, go out and play the type of football that we know you can play and not worry about all those other stuff. But I think when you try to become something else or try to say, hey, D'Amico did it this way, so I have to do it that way. It's just Michael's got to be Michael, and I think he had a good job. I thought he had a really good game against Houston. You know, when you really go back and look at the tape, he played really well against Houston, and if we can get the Michael that played against Houston to play against Carolina, then we'd be happy with that.
Mark Sanchez took a lot of heat toward the end of his time in New York, but what made him so appealing to you guys as a free agent when you were looking for a backup?
I guess we don't pay attention to any of that, so I mean, whether he got heat or didn't get heat is, I look at the skill set of a quarterback and you know, I've known Mark for a while, so I knew his high school. I talked to his high school coach. I talked to his college coaches. I know people that have worked out with him. I know people that he was doing rehab with, and that's what attracted us to him. But whether somebody got heat or didn't get heat, we don't get involved in any of that stuff. So.
What's your philosophy on audibling for a quarterback when he's giving that kind of leeway to do it?
Depends on the play set. We do it here, you know, so it just depends. They can get us in and out of certain plays or protections and things like that, but it's been the same no matter who the quarterback is.
With your next man up philosophy, how much do you think integrating guys into practice like you do, twos and ones and different ways, helps them?
I believe it helps a ton, you know, so we don't make a big deal out of who's a one, who's a two, you know, through the off season or through preseason games or preseason practice. You know, if the threes offense is going against the one defense, that's not the look we want. And I think it took some of our older coaches to kind of understand that. It's just we got to rotate everybody because at some point in time they have to play together. So, you know, I know everybody made a big deal of why is Jordan Matthew with the twos. It's not a big deal to us. You know, he's getting as many reps as he can. We're getting on film. We're coaching him up. We're making him better. So, you know, I think at some point in time, that experience is everybody's got to get a chance to play with everybody. So
we haven't had a chance to talk to Nick Foles since his injury. obviously this is a big setback for him.
Mm-hmm.
What I know he was out of practice yesterday. What have you said to him? What is he?
I think Nick's been great. I think he understands. Obviously, one thing about Nick that I think I've always admired is that, you know, is that what his mindset's like, and he has no control over it. So, you know, for him to sit there and feel sorry for himself, I don't think you're ever going to get that out of Nick. I think he's talking about what his rehabilitation schedule is going to be and what he has to do to put himself in a situation and how he can be a real good teammate and support Mark and Matt. So,
Chris Polk is healthy now. What dimension does he add to the running game? Is he kind of
We were excited about him before he got hurt, and then he came back and then got hurt again. So, you know, it's a matter of him getting a little bit more healthy. I think he's got a great feel for playing running back. He was an outstanding running back at the college level at Washington and saw him, played against him, you know, and he's physical, but he also can make people miss. He's got a real good feel for the zone schemes. He did a lot of it when he was in college. So for what we run offensively in terms of what our primary runs are, I think he fits in there. He's got real good vision. So
where does his power come from? He's like kind of a chunky little guy. I mean, he's not, you know, Sproles is much more muscular.
Do you want to tell him that, Les?
Sure. But seriously, he's not a big – he plays a lot bigger than he is.
I think he's a real – strong physical guy. When you see him in the weight room, see the numbers he puts up and how he runs and the power that he generates. He's done the same thing on special teams. He's a very difficult guy to block on special teams for that same reason, too. So.
Is he still kind of working his way? Or is he 100% fully go right now?
I think he's getting there. So, I mean, that's a better question you can ask him. But, you know, I think he's getting there. So.
How was your experience coaching Jason Avant last year?
It was good. I think he you know, being the old guy in the room, I think the one thing that Jason always did and that you could always point to as a coach is his work ethic. And you know, as witness to everybody, is how the immediate practice over, he's got the jugs machine out, and how he trained and how he developed and his approach on a daily basis. And I told him that when we let him go, that I appreciate everything he did in my first year as a coach, because he made that transition for a new coaching staff come here fantastic. And I think, you know, Jason's a special guy, you know, and I think both on and off the field, and I got nothing but the utmost respect for Jay.
There was a story that came out.
55 completion percent rate in New York, and turnover to interceptions was about 50-50. What did you look at to where that wasn't a deterrent for you when you were analyzing?
I don't look at any of that stuff because I don't know what he was asked to do, you know, and that's where – whoever looks at that stuff and all those people that can watch a game film and understand what a quarterback was supposed to do on a play, they're a lot smarter than I am, you know, and it's how they grade somebody out and say that they know this. It's what was he told to do on that play? He may have been told to throw it to the Y, and he threw it to the Y, but the Y tipped off his hands and someone else caught it, so it's an interception. I don't know. So we didn't pay attention to any of that stuff. So,
and what can you see that gets you past that, though?
I said it earlier. I look at their skill set. You know, I look at his feet. I look at his mechanics. I look at how he throws a football. I look at how he can escape a rush. I look at all the physical aspects of it. And then we do our work in terms of who's coached him and who talked to him. What was he like? What's he like in the meeting room? What's his work ethic like? How does he study film? How does he do all these things? And we went all the way back to researching his high school coaches, who I know very well. Like, what was he like when you had him? So that's how we look at it, instead of just trying to say, anybody that can look at someone else's film and guess what they were telling that guy to do on that play, then they're a lot smarter than I am. So.
Two more.
There was a story that had come out in a Carolina paper over the summer where Jason was quoted as saying that he kind of butted heads with you a little bit on how to run specific routes, and that's when he kind of knew he was on the way out. Did you hear about that? Is that
I heard about that, and then Jason called me afterwards and apologized, said that that's not what he said. So,
did you in any way, there was a story, now that we're on stories, about you thinking before Nick got hurt about moving to Sanchez? I'm just trying to get your comment on that.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know where that stuff comes from. And I mean, I know this. I know I control the roster, and I think you guys can say firsthand, I don't talk to anybody, so... Whoever says they have a source in terms of what's going to go on with roster maneuvers or people going up, people going down, then they never talk to the right person, because that comes from me, and that never was any of my case. I've got great faith in Nick, and I think he's a hell of a quarterback, and I think sometimes he gets banged too much, but I wish there was more people like Nick Foles in our lives.